Okay, so now we're going to start on the ephemeroptera, and I haven't got ephemeroptera stuff online, but there's the next set of handouts for them. I said I'm going to try to get the recording up at least, because that'll be all the material for the first exam, and then I'll see about getting the ephemeroptera out. Actually, the ephemeroptera shouldn't take too long. There's a chance we may get through it today. So now, that what we just finished was the Pterygota, so now we're going into the Pterygota. Mm-hmm. These are the insects that now have wings present, or if they're lacking, they still evolved from winged ancestors. They're not primitively unwinged. Now, kind of as a way to split things up conveniently, they also recognize two orders as being somewhat different than all the rest in their ability to fold their wings back over their backs. Think about beetles or grasshoppers and stuff. They fold their wings back over their backs. And I know there's some later groups that don't really look, they have the ability, but they don't look like it as much. Like butterflies, they hold their wings more up, but they can fold their wings over their backs if they want. But there's two orders that cannot fold their wings back over their backs, and it's the first one we're going to talk about is the ephemeroptera, and then also the odonata, the dragonflies and damselflies. You've never seen dragonflies with their wings folded flat over their backs. So they have a terms for that. These two orders are what we would put in the Paleoptera. That's the old winged. And then everything else is in the Neoptera. Also, just to have it fresh in our minds real quick too, because I think I already talked about it, but the metamorphosis, remember the Pterygotes was kind of a metamorphosis, not really going through any. Now we're into what is called the parometabolus, which is gradual metamorphosis. Parometabolus. Is gradual. Here again, in at least the terrestrial groups, the immatures and the adults look pretty much the same, just the wing situation is different. Like an immature grasshopper looks like an adult grasshopper, just the wings haven't developed.
Is parometaboly a subset of like hemimetaboly?
No, hemimetabolus is a subset of parometabolus. Mm-hmm. So ametamorphosis and then parometabolus. And then within the parometabolus is the hemi. Yeah, that's the way I've got it written down. But parometabolus, the immatures we call nymphs. And hemimetabolus are the aquatic groups, where the immatures really don't look as much like the adults. An immature dragonfly doesn't look like an adult. But in the hemimetabolus, the immatures are called naiads. And then, of course, much farther on in the course, we'll get then to the holometabolus, which are the complete. And there, the immatures are called larvae. And also there's another stage that's not in the earlier stage, that resting stage called a pupa or chrysalis. And so here in the ephemeroptera, the metamorphosis is hemimetabolus. And the immatures are called naiads. Essentially, a naiad is just an aquatic nymph. Now, in the Ephemeroptera, Ephemeroptera, what does ephemero mean?
Season.
Yeah, it means, essentially it means for a short time. I used to collect antiques, and they used to, I don't know, I guess they called a lot of paper items, like holiday cards and paper documents, as ephemera, just because sometimes paper stuff doesn't last as long as others and stuff. But anyway, Ephemeroptera, so literally it's winged for a short time, or sometimes we say winged for a day. And refers to the fact that the adults are only around for 2 or 3 days. Usually their mouth parts are vestigial. They don't feed. Their sole objective as adults is to find mates and to mate and reproduce. They are small to medium in size, but they are relatively delicate, soft-bodied insects. So it's fine to put both the immatures and adults in, collect them in alcohol. We don't generally pin these up. You've got some that are pinned, eh?
Not pinned. I was planning on point-inting them because I attempted to pin them in my last class and that didn't go well.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're getting pointed.
Well.
Is it too late to put them in alcohol?
Well, probably not. If they've dried out, they'll tend to want to float on the alcohol, but maybe after a while they'll re-soak in the alcohol. And, but you know, things that have been allowed to dry and you put into alcohol, they tend to want to float on the alcohol rather than be down in there. And you may have to relax them if they don't fit in the vial very well, because things will break off. Mayflies have a pair of compound eyes and 3 ocelli. The antennae are very short and cetaceous. See the pair of antennae in that middle one there? Cetaceous just means hair-like. They usually have 2 pairs of wings, although we'll see that there are some that lack the hind wings. The hind wings have become very reduced and in some cases are now lacking. They tend to have lots of veins in the wings. The front wings tend to be larger and triangular in shape. The hind wings, when present, tend to be smaller and more circular in shape. They're held vertical over their backs, not flat over their backs, but vertical at rest. And they'll have 2 to 3 caudal filaments. Some species, some families have 2 caudal cerci, and some will have 3 appendages at the posterior end. Mayflies are interesting in that they're the only insect group that has a winged immature stage. When these things are ready to molt to the adult stage, remember they're aquatic, and they'll float to the surface where they can molt into a winged stage that's not an adult yet. And that wing stage then flies to the shoreline, lands on a tree or something, and will sit there, and probably within a day will then go ahead and into another molt, into the adult stage. You should already know that another name for an adult is an imago.
Yeah, it's either subimago.
And so here, if it's a wing stage that's not an adult, they call it the subimago. Sub meaning below, so it's the stage right before or right below the adult.
So the sequence is naiad, then subimago, then imago?
Mayflies are an important part of the food chain. They're eaten by fish, amphibians, a lot of other animals. They're also sometimes used as pollution indicators. Way that works is different species are more or less tolerant to pollution. And so some things can live in very polluted waters, and if you get those, usually you'll always get those, but then there's some species that just a little bit of pollution will kill them off. Mm-hmm. And so you can do surveys and see what species are present, and it kind of can give you an indication of the level of pollution in the water. Because these things only live for a few days, they tend to have their cycles, life cycles, very highly synchronized. And so that they all molt to the adult stage within just a few days of each other, which then can result in these huge swarms that there'll just be thousands and thousands of them. I've told the story, I go down to the baseball park by the river there almost every night to watch baseball. And we didn't have one. I don't remember there being a problem this summer, but the past two summers there's been several nights where the mayflies were just everywhere, flying at the lights and stuff. They'll fly at lights, around bridges. They end up getting hit and run over on the roads, and it can make roads slick and dangerous. So it's pretty amazing to see these huge flights. There's other insects that also have huge flights, and some of those stories have been amazing too. I'm aware of some in the stink bugs. They talk about like a high school trying to have a football game, and the stink bugs end up being a foot deep on the field. They're having to be out there with shovels trying to shovel the stink bugs off the field and stuff. It's just incredible to think that something like that could happen. Anyway, the mayflies. There are actually quite a few families. And in the adult stage, we rely quite heavily on wing venation to identify them. And there's no real easy way to get around it. We've chosen four families that we think are fairly likely that you might run into, and yet there's some good characters we can use to separate them. Just be aware that there's quite a few more families. If this is what we'll be learning for our class, for in here, how to separate these four families. But if you're out catching mayflies, just be aware that there's a fairly good chance that you'll have some other families. It might not be these four, so you'll have to key them out in your textbook or in stuff like that. The four families we're going to talk about, of the four, two of them have the hind wings lacking. So right away we can separate them into two groups of two. And for some reason I don't go over them in order, but the Betidae is the first one I'll talk about, and then the last one I talk about, the Caenidae, both have the hind wings lacking. So the Betidae and the Caenidae. And I think I've probably said this before. Again, Jerry gives you a lot of examples of some of the other stuff. We also try to use the same handouts for both this class and for our immatures class. And so that's why you'll see a lot of our handouts. There'll be pictures of the adults and pictures of the immatures, so we can use the same handouts. And so sometimes, I'll talk about whether they have two caudal filaments, two caudal appendages, or three. I might say, well, it only has two, but then you'll look at your handout and says, well, that thing has three. Well, that's in the immature stage. The immatures and the adults aren't always the same, so. So anyway, there's some we don't take a look at, but the first one we will look at, and see, here's an example. Those two that you see on there, look at, they're immatures. You only just put the wings down below. But the Betidae, called small minnow mayflies, and they are relatively small also. They're quite small. Like I said, there's only three families of mayflies that commonly have the hind wings reduced or absent. The betadine, the cenadine, and then one that you don't have to know is the trichlorithidine. They're mainly tropical. The betadine has only two caudal filaments. And see, that's where the discrepancy is. The adults would be like the middle one, two caudal filaments. Some of the immatures will have three, but not the adults. So betadine have two caudal filaments in the adult stage, whereas the cenadine will have three in the adult stage. Now, I didn't erase them because I got them marked pretty nice, but the betadine will have a couple little tiny veinlets between the major veins. And so that's the major veins I've colored here in blue, and the little veinlets are those little tiny ones right at the edge. So betadine have these little veinlets between the major veins. Also, you see I've marked and colored in red there the MP3 and the MA3. Or no, MA, I can't read my, those are twos, aren't they? The MP2 and the MA2. Mm-hmm. And they are what we call atrophied at the base. Mm-hmm. See how they go to the middle of the wing and they just stop. I believe, go ahead. It's probably the medial and anal veins. And P, what would P be? Somehow I'm not thinking what the P would stand for. I'll think of it. Maybe I'll think of it. It's the costa, subcosta, medial, radial, and anal.
Posterior margin.
Yeah, it's something different, just because they have more veins, and I'll have to see if I can think of what the P stands for. Anyway, the take home is those two they end in the middle of the wing. Now, if I recall, when we get to the cenadine, they don't go all the way to the base, but they go almost all the way up to the base, way up in there. So, also in this group, the males have what we call turbinate eyes. It's actually the eyes, it looks kind of cool. They're divided into two areas. There's part of the eyes look normal, and then part of them are kind of out on like little stalks, or they're just a weird looking thing, turbinate eyes. So have to look at some of those in laboratory. Say more or less stalked, yep. In this group, the hind tarsi are three segmented. This is the largest family in North America with about 140 species. Like I said, I still think it may, well, there may be some higher classification things, but I still think it's better to jump ahead to the cenadine, because it's the other one of the two that has the hind wings reduced or lacking, pretty much lacking. So the betadine and the cenadine are the two. You can separate these two from the other two in that the hind wings are lacking. Again, these are very small. The adults have three caudal filaments. Remember, the betadine only had two. The fork of the MA is symmetrical. So here I've drawn that in. This fork, they call it symmetrical, that both of the sometimes you'll have a fork that's like that or something where it doesn't, they're not, don't look the same. Both these, they both look the same. Here, I mean, now it's calling them the IMP1 and the MP2, extend nearly to the wing base. And I don't know exactly which ones they are, but it's, again, it's a couple of these in here. But notice how they're now going much closer to the wing base. They're not stopping in the middle like we saw in the B2D. Nymphs occur in a variety of habitats, but usually in relatively quiet waters. These, the males, do not have turbinate eyes. So again, we're going to cover four families in the Ephemeroptera. Two lack wings. The Betidae have two cerci. The Cnidae have three caudal filaments. The males and the Betidae have turbinate eyes. Here, the males do not. And then there's these few differences in the wing venation. So now we'll talk about two families that have hind wings present. And the first one we'll talk about is the Heptagenetidae. This is the second largest family in North America, called stream mayflies or flat-headed mayflies. A lot of times the common names refer to the what the immatures are doing. Some of these it's easier to go and catch the immatures than it is to find the adults. So, adults are larger in size. The hind wings are well developed. These, the adults, have two caudal filaments. So again, both those are immatures, you see. One has two and one has three, but the adults will have two caudal filaments. These have these cubital intercalaries that are more or less parallel. That's what I've drawn in there in blue, towards the lower part, that bump in the wing. There's two sets of veins that are essentially very nearly parallel to each other. And the MA is forked. The thing is, says the MA in the hindwing is forked, which I think this is the forewing, but I still tried to draw it in here like this is the fork. The hind tarsi are 5-segmented. The immatures are found on the underneath sides of stones in faster moving streams. Again, this isn't a class for the immatures, but the immatures often have these gill-like structures. Mm-hmm. So they're obtaining their oxygen from water, from the water itself. There, you know, a lot of insects that are aquatic, they come to the surface to breathe and then they'll dive back down. Exactly. And they can live about anywhere in the water. In fact, slow moving pool areas. But insects like these that are relying on extracting oxygen from the water itself tend to be in faster moving parts of the water. That's where the water is more disturbed and you've got more oxygen in the water and that. So and then one more family, be done for today. The last family we'll cover is the Ephemeridae. Again, Again, these are medium to large in size. So again, there's some size differences. Not only do the Betidae and Cynidae lack the hind wings, but they tend to be fairly small, where the two families that have hind wings tend to be larger. These are sometimes called the burrowing mayflies, because the immatures tend to burrow into the sandy or rocky soils. Hind wings are well developed with many cross veins. You can see lots and lots of cross veins on the wing. There are two pairs of intercalary veins, just like in the last one, but now they are not parallel. See how they kind of come together basally? So those two pairs there, kind of at that lower bump, the two pairs of veins kind of come together more towards the middle of the wing. The MA is not forked in the hind wing. Again, this is the forewing, but you don't see a good fork like we did in the other one. I haven't tried to draw it in. And then the bases of the MP2 and CUA are sharply bent near the base. And that's what I've drawn in there towards the base. You see those two veins kind of S-shaped or sharply curved or bent. So, they may have two or three caudal filaments. And I'll tell you, the Betidae, going back to the Betidae and Cynidae, that seems like an easy way to tell these things apart. One of them's got two caudal filaments, one's got three. But again, these are soft, delicate things, and those get broken off real easy. Mm-hmm. And so when you're looking at them, it may look one way or another, and you got to look close, because it's, and that's why maybe you need to also know what some of the other characters are. Don't rely on that totally. So, the hind tarsi are four segmented here. And again, the common name is that they do burrow in the sand or silt at the bottom of streams or lakes. These are some of the ones where the adults will come out in large numbers, some of the huge swarms you see in this group. So, and that finishes what we were going to say about the Ephemeroptera. Looks like class time is up, and that's a good place to stop. Thursday, we'll start on the Odonata. So now we're getting in. The Aterogota, we need to learn and all that stuff, but they're groups that you don't see and recognize. Now we're starting to do things that I think you guys have caught some Ephemeroptera. I know you guys have really been going after the dragonflies and damselflies. And
I know I suck at that.
No, I'm not saying that. But it's to me, this is now where the class maybe starts getting more and more interesting, because now we're looking at things that I know you've caught and you're interested in. And so,
thinking it's supposed to get about 39 on Wednesday, so that might be...
The temperature, yeah. I'd seen on the news the other night that they had 39 listed for one night. This morning's paper had it at 41, which is a little better. But yeah, I think it's...
Around that.
And today had potential, and then they said rain. And I looked at the radar this morning, and there's a good bit of rain west of us. I think it's going to start raining here pretty soon today. Yeah. So...
I'm probably going to take what I got.
Well, I encourage you guys to get out whenever you got free time, even if it's just on campus or going over to those garden plots or walk to the river. I don't know if we'll have we've gone out more than I usually take, and so I don't know if we'll work another one in or not, but I'd still keep trying when you guys got time and stuff. So
I would like to still try some of those like pitfall traps that you said could be done during the winter. That would be interesting to see what we catch.
Yeah.
Someone threw out my other traps because, well, they walked around and they were like, something smells bad.
Oh, somebody. Yeah. Somebody threw away your traps.
I was like, oh, I was saving those. Damn it.
Question. Do you have a dynamite diagram that shows detailed venation, because the only one I have currently is the costa subcosta radial or cubital.
Yeah.
Do you have a copy of the textbook?
It's in there. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they'll have the general, at the beginning they'll have the general stuff.
Okay.
And then, but when in the chapter they'll have pictures. In fact, I haven't updated, so I don't know if these numbers, these, but like for the heptagenidae, it says C figure 9-6C on page 188. So there should be pictures in your textbook of all this stuff too, so.
I'm gonna grab the Ephemeroptera that I currently have and dump them in alcohol to soften them up a little bit, hopefully.
Yes, I should hear.